Are you burning down the kingdom one evil word at a time, just like napalm being sprayed out in all directions? Are you building it up? Are you a spiritual arsonist? Are you a spiritual architect? You can use your tongue, the power of your tongue, to do either one. You're either an architect or an arsonist. Which are you? Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. Our title this morning is Architect or Arsonist. We've been working our way through the book of James these past few weeks, and if you've missed a week or something, you know it's always out there archived on Facebook or on the podcast. And this small little letter from James has really done a lot to my toes for the last 2-3 weeks. Probably has done yours as well. Just kind of as a way of review of where we've come from. In the first week, James chapter 1, and that first half of that chapter, we talked about the harvest of the hard times, you remember. And James tells us that we should have joy in those trials, those various trials, those things that we have, that we encounter. Because the trials that we endure produce character and perseverance. And that's the harvest of the hard times, is getting through those and realizing on the other side of them how we've grown. And then the second week we had a message titled The Real Thing, where we looked at what James talked about the real thing, real Christianity looked like. You remember he told us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And he kind of summarized what real Christianity looks like in the last couple of verses of chapter 1, where he said in verse 26 and 27, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Basically what James is saying there is real Christianity can be measured by the way that we walk, by the way that we talk. Last week, we continuing and expanding on that a little bit, we looked at James chapter 2, expanding on a little bit about how we walk and how we live our faith out before men. We talked about a faith that doesn't work, you remember, compared to a faith that does work. So that true, authentic, saving faith is a faith that works. It's a faith that changes a soul, changes a life. It causes us to do the works that God has laid out in advance for us to do. That's what true, authentic, saving faith is. And that's how we walk, how we live our lives out before others. And so as we looked at that last week and we expounded on how we walk, this morning I want to look at how we talk, James chapter 3. We're going to be talking about the power of our words. If we're a real Christian, if we have the real thing, not only should we walk the walk, but we should also talk the talk. And sometimes that's more difficult, to talk the talk. The power of speech is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given mankind. It's one of the most powerful gifts. And yet, sometimes it causes us the most trouble. Our tongue is one of the most powerful parts of our body. Listen to what Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Our words tell a lot about what's on the inside. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So people can tell by what comes out of our mouth, what's in our heart. It's an indicator. So what I want to ask you this morning is this. If someone were to observe your speech over the last week, what would they learn about what's on the inside? If you think about all the words that you said over the last week, and somebody were able to listen to that whole week of conversation that you just finished, what would they think about you? What would they think about me? Does your speech identify you as an architect or an arsonist? Are you a builder of the kingdom of God, or are you tearing it down? You're either one or the other. There's no in between. The tongue has the power for both good and evil. There's no in between. You're either burning it down or building it up. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 12, again in verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." It's a pretty scathing statement there. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either burning the kingdom down or you're building it up by the words that you speak. So let's read James chapter 3 this morning, the first 12 verses, starting in verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Let's pray. Lord, as we learn about the power of our tongue this morning and the power of our speech, Lord, speak to our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word. Father, hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know who comes up with these statistics, who actually does this type of counting, but they have done studies about how many words the average person speaks in a day. 16,000. And I thought maybe that women would be a little higher than men, but it's really not that much of a difference. The last study that they did, men were about 15,500 and something, and women were 16,200 or 3, so the average was 16,000. Now, it would be interesting to know how the age gap makes a difference. Because you can walk, as you know, in a room where there's 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds, and everybody's talking, and there's laughter. You walk in a room filled with 18 to 30-year-olds, and what's everybody doing? On that phone, and there's very little conversation. But that's a side point. But overall, 16,000 words is what the average person speaks in a day's time. That's a whole lot of opportunity to build up or to tear down every day. So I want us to see four things this morning about the power of our tongue. Are you ready? The first thing I think we need to know, the tongue measures our spiritual maturity. It measures our spiritual maturity. Look at verse 2 there. "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." Now that word perfect doesn't mean perfect in the way that we understand perfect. None of us are sinless people. But what that word perfect means, the Greek word, it actually means mature. So he who holds his tongue, it shows a sign of maturity. The tongue is a measure of spiritual maturity. How we speak measures our spiritual maturity. Now we might look at someone and think to ourselves, well, that's a spiritually mature person. They've got it together. They know what's going on. They're here every time the church doors are open. They're serving the Lord. They might look like the real deal on Sundays, but here's a litmus test. Their conversation the other 6 days of the week. Now, that's a blistering thought for most of us. The activity that we find the most difficult to control sometimes is our speech. The words that come out of our mouth. We got 16,000 a day coming out. It's like having a pretty good sized hole in a water pipe. You got to watch it. It'll cause trouble in short order. Words have a way of just kind of slipping out past our tongue and our lips before we even know it. And often it causes tragic results, both to us and those around us. Because our tongue is so powerful and it's a measure of our spiritual maturity. Listen to some of these verses. Proverbs 16. In the book of Proverbs, if you could sum Proverbs up in one word or three words, a lot of times I think it says, watch your speech. Pay attention to your speech. Listen to Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. That's Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Listen to Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. A fool's lips are a snare to his soul. It's pretty strong. You think about this, out of the Ten Commandments in the Bible, two of the ten have to do with our speech. Don't use the Lord's name in vain, and don't bear false witness. It's two out of ten. And then you drill down in Proverbs 6 where it talks about the seven things that the Lord hates. Listen to these. Out of those seven, three of them involve the use of the tongue. Listen to these. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Lying tongue, false witness, and stirring up dissension or discord among brothers. Three things out of those seven have to deal with our speech. So it's an important thing. And only the spiritually mature person can control their tongue. It is an unmistakable evidence of God's work of grace in your life when you can control your speech. It's one of the ways that our maturity can be measured. Against the standard of our master, listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and following, talking about Jesus. To this you were called, Peter says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now pay attention. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. What an example. What a measure of spiritual maturity. Is there deceit in your mouth? Have you had deceit in your mouth before? I have. When people have hurled insults at you, have you wanted to retaliate? I have. When you suffer criticism or harm, do you want to make threats? I have. Probably you have too. You think about this. When you go to the doctor as a kid, and maybe even as an adult, what's the first thing the doctor wants to do? Stick out your tongue. Let me see your tongue. They can tell a lot about your physical health by what your tongue looks like, what color it is, whether it's whatever, and then they put that old hard stick in there and look in your throat, which I used to hate. But they can tell a lot about your physical health by your tongue. And isn't it interesting that our tongue is a measure of our spiritual maturity as well? That's the first thing I want you to see. The second thing I want you to see about the power of our tongue, not only does the tongue measure spiritual maturity, but the tongue determines our direction. Look at verse 3 as James lists there a series of illustrations. In verse 3, he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Now, a horse is a magnificent beast. My wife and the kids and I have been going to the state fair every year in the middle of October ever since we've been married, since the kids were babies. We always go on the weekend that they have the cow shows, the dairy cow shows, and that's the same weekend the last few years that they've had the horse and mule pull at the Fordyce Center. And we love it. We go every year. They have those large draft horses hooking them to those sleds, and they pull different weights, and it's fun to watch. Some of those draft horses are anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 pounds each. Huge beast, solid muscle. But you take that 2,000-pound horse and put a 5 or 6-inch bit in its mouth, and you can put a 100-pound child on the back of that horse that knows what he's doing and can make that horse prance and dance all over that arena. That's what he's saying our tongue is like. The power of our tongue is just like a bit in the mouth of a horse. Such a small thing like that can determine the direction that it goes. And our tongues are the same way. It can determine the direction that we go. In verse 4, he gives another illustration. He says there, or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. In the same way that a bit guides a horse, that rudder guides a ship. And I was curious to see what the normal size of a rudder is compared to the size of a ship. I wondered what that difference in size was this week, so I looked it up. And according to what I found, 1 to 2% of the total surface area that's underwater is what the size of a rudder is. So I was thinking about it, if you took a 2,000 square foot house, something the size of a normal brick house, and that house was floating on the water, then your rudder would be 20 square feet. It would be a 2x5 rudder. 10 foot on one side, 10 on the other. Double-sided rudder. Can guide that whole 2,000 square foot house. It's an amazing thing that such a small thing as that rudder can guide that whole ship. In the same way that small part of our body can guide the way we go, the direction that we go. That's how powerful the tongue is. It can determine our direction. Our lives are destined to go in one direction or the other. It's inevitable. We can either use our tongues for good or evil. It's just determining how they're controlled or not. There's a third thing about the tongue that I think you need to know. The tongue ignites iniquity. It ignites iniquity. Look at verse 5 and 6 there. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. You think about all the trouble that you've gotten into over the course of your life. Most of it you can trace back to your tongue. It says it makes great boasts. A lot of times people get in some of the biggest fights they've ever had because their tongue is writing checks, their mouth's writing checks that the rest of their body can't cash. You've heard that before, I know. There's an old Jewish teaching that compares the tongue to an arrow. The Jewish rabbis can compare the tongue to an arrow, and one of the students of a rabbi at one time said, "Rabbi, why not another weapon? Why an arrow?" And the rabbi said, "Well, if you think about this, if a man draws his sword to strike another man down and he changes his mind, he can take that sword and put it back in its sheath. But once an arrow leaves an archer's bow, there's no coming back." It's the same way with words. Our words cannot be returned. That's how dangerous they are, just like an arrow leaving an archer's bow. Verse 6 says, "The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." One author said this about the tongue: "The tongue is a fire guilty of verbal arson." Are you guilty of verbal arson? Have you said things that have burned down and destroyed someone's spirit? I know when I consider that question for myself, I have to say guilty. Guilty is charged. And I imagine you can too. In the course of my life, I have lied. I have gossiped. I have said hurtful things. And once those things leave my lips, it's just like that bow and an arrow. And he lets it go. You can't take them back. Just like a small spark that ignites a raging inferno. The damage was set in motion. You've heard the saying, it only takes a spark to get a fire burning. Most of the time that's in a positive light when we're talking about the Spirit of God moving. But a spark from a tongue in the wrong use can ignite an inferno. It ignites iniquity. It rages out of control. One time when I was a teenager, my dad and I decided we had a 2-acre lot that we called the horse lot. And we hadn't had horses in years, so it was grown up about chest high with briars and things. And it was about this time of year, rabbit season was getting close to the end, and we thought, well, there's probably some rabbits in there. And this is probably illegal as it comes, but I'm going to tell it from the pulpit. We had the idea, we're going to set that horse lot on fire, and we'll just catch them when they come out, you know, fill the freezer full of rabbits. So I got my gun and got ready, and we struck that match. And y'all, the north wind picked up. It burned up the horse lot. It burned up the chicken coop. It burned up the well house. It burned up the whole hay field down the side of Highway 388 all the way up to my grandmother's yard and started burning up toward her house. And Daddy and I spent 2 hours with a wash tub full of water and a push broom, dipping that push broom and sweeping, trying to put that fire out before it got too far up in her yard. That one little spark burned up 15 acres and everything in its path. And you know, I didn't see a single rabbit. Did not see a single rabbit. James says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27 says this, a scoundrel plots evil and his speech is like a scorching fire. Here's another proverb, 26 verses 20 and 21. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. What about you? Has your tongue kindled strife before in your life? Someone else's life? Has it ignited iniquity? Are you guilty of spiritual arson? Burning down, destroying the kingdom of God with your mouth by the fiery napalm that can come out in all directions? We're called to build one another up, to encourage one another, to edify one another. Paul wrote about this in Ephesians 4, verse 29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, Paul says again, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Paul says, be a builder, be an architect, using your tongue to build up the kingdom of God, not burning it down like an arsonist. We're talking about the tremendous power that our tongue has this morning. We've seen that the tongue measures our spiritual maturity. We've seen that our tongue determines our direction. The third thing we looked at was that the tongue ignites iniquity. And the fourth and final thing I want you to know this morning, our tongue weakens our witness. It can weaken our witness. Look at verses 9 through 12 again. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. How many times in your life have you known of somebody that was a devoted Christian that you respected and you looked up to? And then you caught them saying something that really just shook you to the core. I've had it happen before. I think I told you the story some time ago. There's a lady in this town that's a pillar in her church. I know her well. As far as I knew, she's a pillar in her church. As far as I know, she is. A godly woman. And I was riding with a friend in his pickup truck, and she called him on her phone. And he picked it up on the Bluetooth speaker on the phone. She didn't know I was in the truck. And y'all, I have never heard such ugly talk in my life coming out of that little godly lady. The awfulest cuss words that a sailor wouldn't use. And she was running down people in the community. It hurt her witness because of the words coming out of her mouth. The tongue, her tongue weakened her witness with me. And I thought to myself, wow, I don't want to be on her bad side. It weakened her witness. What about you? What about me? Do we praise the Lord and then turn around and fuss and cuss about His children, people who are created in His image? James says, brothers, these things ought not to be so, because it weakens our witness. James said back in chapter 1, we looked at a few weeks ago in verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. When we realize the power of our tongue and assess our speech, would God say to you or to me based on our speech over the last week, your religion is worthless? That slices pretty close to the bone. Are you burning down the kingdom one evil word at a time, just like napalm being sprayed out in all directions? Or are you building it up? Are you a spiritual arsonist? Are you a spiritual architect? You can use your tongue, the power of your tongue, to do either one. You're either an architect or an arsonist. Which are you? Somebody might have something they want to confess to the Lord this morning about their speech or some other thing. Our God is willing to forgive if we'll offer those things up to Him by confession. His blood covers all our sins, the Bible says. We'll lay it at His feet. Trust Him with it. There may be some other issue in your heart or on your life this morning. If you just lay it at His feet, our God is big enough and strong enough and willing enough to hear it and to do something about it. You just need to surrender it to Him. So let's do that this morning as we get ready to approach His table, as we stand and sing here in just a minute. Let's pray. Lord, help us to realize the gravity of our words. Sometimes a careless word can do so much damage, just like a small spark burning up acres. Just like an arrow leaving an archer's bow, we can't take them back. Help us to be spiritual architects, designing and planning every word carefully so that we might build up your kingdom instead of burning it down like a spiritual arsonist. Help us to do just that, Lord. Forgive us where we failed to do that in the past. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.